Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It is Christmas week. From Merry Christmas from us here at Story Chat to you guys, wherever you are, either in the car or listening cozy by the fire, sipping a cup of hot cocoa. I'm Brian, here joining you guys this holiday season, I hope, John, do you have a cup of cocoa?
Because I was thinking that would taste so good right now, right now, because it's a little chilly right now, but it's that'd be great.
Wow, it's getting cold in California? I don't believe that.
Usually, yeah, I think it might get down to like in the 50s. I mean, yeah, so we're freezing here.
The 50s is not cold. Like the 50s is light sweater weather for me.
I came from Colorado. I know what stuff is, but I got spoiled here in LA. I mean, I'm way spoiled. Yeah.
Well, you won't get a white Christmas either. So there. And neither will I, because I live in Georgia.
Oh man.
So what do you guys do for Christmas? Like, do you guys do any traditions or anything? Do you do anything fun with your kids or whatnot?
Oh,
or?
Sure. Well, you know, the ideal thing, you know, you get the tree and do the presents and all that kind of stuff. And what's this have to do with story? I don't know, but we'll tell it anyway.
Actually, I do kind of have
you have a plan in mind.
I do actually.
Okay.
Tree and all that fun stuff. We go to
And we usually like on Christmas Eve we'll do like one gift. Just pick one gift out. And then Christmas morning we get up in the morning and you know, and that's what we used to do. You know, now my kids are grown. It's different. You know, when kids leave home, but that's what we would do. Yeah, it was fun.
Actually, now that I've actually thought about it, because we kind of want to make this more, I do have a kind of a pseudo serious question for this episode.
Oh, a pseudo serious. That means it's half serious. It's got a little comedy in it. It's got a twist.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, we've talked about on the podcast, The Truth Shall Set You Free, The Truth. We're talking about truth.
Yes.
When you compare Santa Claus to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the nativity story.
Oh, no.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
Okay. All right.
Other than the complete obvious of Santa giving presents to little kids. I mean, you see him everywhere. He's the season.
Right.
He's a staple of Christmas.
Right.
That's really cool because St. Nicholas straight up punched a heretic in the face, which is kind of is really cool. But he didn't give a.
I didn't know that story. It's kind of cool.
No,
Santa Claus punching somebody.
Yeah, it was the Council of Nicaea, and here's your weekly story. Council of Nicaea. I think guy by the name of Arminius. Mm-hmm. I actually don't remember the guy's name, but he was putting forward bad doctrine.
Uh-huh.
And he was basically denying the Trinity and saying Jesus was not God and all that stuff. And he was getting under the skin of the council members so much that Saint Nicholas, guy who the fat elf is named after, punched him dead in the face.
Wow, man.
During one of these meetings for his heresy. So there's your
that's
learning
cool.
learning story. Yeah,
that's a great way to deal with heresy, by the way.
Yes, it is. Excellent way to deal with heresy.
Just punch him in the face.
But
heck with all the diplomacy stuff. Okay, go ahead.
But aside the obvious, and I know the present giving is an obvious one. Why is the Santa Claus story everywhere in comparison to the Jesus story?
You know, it's interesting. And I won't get into Santa Claus versus Jesus because actually St. Nicholas, there is a God story in there, in that story. It's how he actually gave gifts to the poor. He became very wealthy. St. Nicholas was, and he gave gifts to people in secret. And so there's actually a good God story in there. We've kind of commercialized and secularized it, but so it's a little different today. But the question is, why is that so prominent as opposed to the Jesus story kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh man, you know this. You're hit across. This is like pretty epic battle here. We have it's a battle of the stories, right?
Yeah.
And so far, it looks like Santa's winning as far as the Christmas stuff. It looks like it. But here's the thing. He who wins the battle. There's a quote that I think I came up with it. Is me or Plato, one of those guys.
Two very, very smart individuals.
We mix them up all the time. Yeah, yeah, right, John. So anyway, he who wins the battle of the stories wins the battle of the hearts. So it's interesting. You've got two stories going on here. You got the Santa Claus story and you got the Jesus story. And I'm not anti-Santa Claus. I'm not going that way. And by the way, a little tip for new parents is one thing that we would do is we would say there is a story, a legend about a Santa Claus. We didn't say he really is here. We said there's a story. There's a legend and let them make believe. So that's a little tip there that came to us. So
actually I will use that. Like that is actually a point of contention with me and my wife. I will agree with her, but at the same time, Santa Claus was a part of my growing up so much. Mm-hmm. I don't want my kids to miss that. That is an excellent in between.
There's a story. It was like, oh, hey, this could work. Okay. So this is a battle of the stories. And again, I'm not anti-Santa Claus, but you've got Santa versus
interesting
Jesus.
To compare and contrast.
Yeah. Because, and actually we said there is a God story with the St. Nicholas story, but right now the secularized version is, you know, you've got, I remember at Christmas time, I go around, you know, Christmas decorations. There's an elf. There's a snowman, there's a dog, there's a penguin. It's like, there's everything. It's like, where's Jesus? That's kind of what the story is about, you know?
Yeah.
He's not anywhere. So there's a battle of the story. So here's, I'm not going to say this, what I'm saying, here's what I'm trying to get to, and you brought it up, is really in all of culture, there's a battle of stories. Whose story wins? And truth will win. Truth will always win in one way or another. Maybe right now, it maybe doesn't look like it, but truth always comes out. Truth always will win and will set us free eventually. So it's so important as you're writing your story to get your story out there. I want to empower you empower you in any way I can, or if God would be willing to inspire you too. We've got to get your story out there, the story God's given you to give to the world. We got to get it out there because the world is desperate for good stories. And if they don't find them from us, they will find them out in the world. And he who wins the battle of stories wins the battle of the hearts. When you win their heart, it starts changing government. It starts changing philosophy, then government. It starts getting into it. There's a definite pathway that happens. What story does to change the world, it's been proven in history. One example we gave earlier is Charles Dickens. He wrote a fictional story, Oliver Twist. And that story changed the world. First of all, people read it for entertainment, but they were incensed that this was actually happening because it was based on real life events. And that changed the law about child labor. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. But you are there is a more on topic thing that he changed the world with.
What's that?
Charles Dickens invented Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
We know the Christmas tree and kind of that mm-hmm. sense of the holiday mm-hmm. came from A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, that's a good point. I think that's really cool. If you haven't seen The Man Who Invented Christmas, it's a really good movie. It's got a God-sized hole in it that you can fill in the gaps pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts God out of Dickens's life and out of that story. But if you look real close, you'll be able to. You don't even have to look real close. It's like cutting around something huge on a piece of paper. You're going to see what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
What
a great storyteller there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Charles Dickens. Oh, one of my favorites. Yes.
Yeah. Changed. I mean, he changed our lives, literally. Like, we wouldn't have the modern holiday that is Christmas if it weren't for Charles Dickens.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's super cool.
So, as a storyteller, you can change the world. You can change people's view of things. But it starts with the heart. It starts from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the verse says in the Bible. And I think Jesus said that. I think. Is Jesus or Proverbs? I can't remember where that came from.
We'll play a game. Is it Jesus, Plato, or John? One of the three.
I think it was Jesus. I vote Jesus every time. Okay. Oh, man. So anyway, I'm looking for a lightning bolt. No, it's not that bad, but it's out of the abundance of the heart, the writer writes. So whatever you put in your heart, it's so important what you put in and what comes out of your heart is what changes the world. What you speak out of the passion of your heart touches their heart. And here's the cool part. When you get connected with God's heart and you get his passion flowing through your heart and you touch the person reading or experiencing or listening to or watching your movie, watching your story, and you, so it's God's heart, your heart touches their heart. That's where the world has changed right there. Awesome things happen. Yeah. You look stunned.
Yeah, no, stunned. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. It's you get thrillers, crime drama, all these different genres, but if you look at least film and even some Adventures in Odyssey episodes, there's always Christmas specials, holiday specials. What makes this holiday so unique, in your opinion, when it comes to storytelling?
Oh, great question. Well, you know, it is the story of stories. I mean, think about this. I mean, in what other, on all the world of the Roman gods and the Greek gods and all the mythology and all that kind of stuff, in all these stories, we've got the best one of all. You've got God, the creator of all things, sends his son to become one of us, a human, as a baby. And he didn't come in with a big parade with, you know, and trumpet. And he's in a manger. It's like, wow, it's just so unexpected. It's a great story. And by the way, this is, real quick, this is kind of cool how it lines up with story structure, the story of the Christmas story. So you've got the ordinary world of the hero, which let's just talk with Mary. Start with Mary, all right? And by the way, the beautiful thing about story, you can take it from Joseph's point of view, or you can take it from the donkey, whatever, you know?
I'm pretty sure there's been a Christmas special about all of those points of view, including the sheep or duck number three.
Duck number three. I love that. Duck number three. Oh, I got to write that one down. Okay, anyway. Ordinary world of duck.
If I hear
three.
It, I want royalties.
Okay, that's right, royalties. You got all my royalties. Yeah. So, ordinary world of the hero. Here's Mary. Just you know, she wasn't royalty or whatever. I mean, in God's eyes, she was. She's his daughter, but she's ordinary world. There's Mary, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up. By the way, you're gonna have a baby, and it's Jesus, and he's gonna change the world. It's like, hello, talk about an inciting incident. Then crossing the threshold is she's got to tell Joseph. That's big news. Okay. That's crossing the threshold. Then the twist is he decides he's going to put her away privately. The reversal, an angel shows up to him and says, hey, what she's saying is true. I'm paraphrasing and terribly condensing this. And it's not, we need music behind it because it needs a bit anyway. I'm just pointing out the story beats. Then escalation, we've got to head back to, Joseph has to take Mary to take them into for the census, go to Bethlehem. And so, and they've got this long trek and she's pregnant and it's like, and escalation. Now, dark night of the soul is like, it's the silent night. It's like, there is no room in the end. She's giving birth to the savior of the world and there's no place for him. Talk about irony. All right. So they have the new plan. The new plan is we'll just put him in the stable. You know, we'll just take the night in the stable. Mm-hmm. Final showdown. She has the baby and the new world is joy to the world. You know, we've got a whole new world that comes when the baby is born. And there's a whole new story that starts with the ordinary world. It's interesting what stories, when you do a series, how they can just fold into each other. But talk about a beautiful story where God comes as a baby. I mean, Jesus humbles himself as a baby, a crying baby that needs to be, you know, taken care of and fed and just, it's just, wow, we've got a story here.
Yeah. Something that's really cool about that to me is statistically, if you look at animals, like if you look at tiger cubs or lion cubs or even elephant pups, all of them can get up and walk around and do things for anywhere from 6 weeks to maybe a year on the longer end. My point is most infants in the animal kingdom are up and running maybe 2-3 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
Human babies are one of the most weak and vulnerable things on the planet when they're just born. And wow. I think that is absolutely amazing. Like it's you cannot, you have a hard time thinking of something more vulnerable to the elements, to literally mm-hmm. anything out there than mm-hmm. a human baby.
Wow.
And because even a tiger pup could somewhat take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not super early on, but you get my point. And the vulnerability that God accepted and the humbleness, literally.
It's amazing. It's amazing. By the way, elephants have pups, is what they call them?
I don't know. I think it's an elephant calf is what it actually was.
I was just wondering.
Good touch.
I don't know. So Merry Christmas, elephant pups, and duck number three. It's all kinds of. But anyway, we just want to wish you all just a merry, wonderful, wonderful Christmas and just a joy-filled Christmas. And there's a lot to be joyful about. And I think the most beautiful thing is we can take that joy. We can take that joy to the world through story. Mm-hmm. And just want to encourage you to do that. Top three
Christmas movies. Go.
Oh man. Of course, Christmas Story. Enjoyed that one.
That's a family classic with mine.
Oh yeah. Christmas Carol. We prefer the 1950s version. The black and white version is so
Alistair Sims.
I think that's right. Yeah. Just amazing, amazing stuff. And What's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. Of course, Sean. Yeah. Nothing atypical there. What about you?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
Both versions. No, not both versions, because there's three of them now.
Okay.
The original animated is great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Jim Carrey one is a national treasure. I haven't seen the new one because it's hot trash. I didn't say that out loud. I really like Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol as well from 2008. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have
it's
not
the
seen
same,
that.
It's the same style as the animation style as Polar Express. I don't know if you're.
Oh, yeah. Polar Express. Yeah.
It's if you can get past the animation, which is a bit rough, I love the movie. It is phenomenal because it is one of the few movies that tells the Christmas story kind of as intended because it's scary.
Oh, wow.
Like it's terrifying. Oh, wow. It is genuinely terrifying at some points. And it's a ghost story. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for finally, I don't know if you have seen the 2006 The Nativity Story.
No.
It is wonderful.
Oh, wow. Like, that's cool to know.
Is it the best movie I've ever seen? No, it's got its glaring issues. Mm-hmm. But it does a beautiful recreation of the story we were just telling, of the Nativity Story. There's a moment. Actually, you've seen the new Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Here's mm-hmm. a pitch. Poe Dameron, the pilot guy, he plays Joseph.
Oh, wow.
And this is before his like career took off. And now he's in Star Wars. He's in Dune. He's in everything now.
Uh-huh.
Oscar Isaacs, phenomenal actor. But there's a moment where Joseph is in the town of Bethlehem. Nothing like from what you've seen in church or whatnot. It's just mm-hmm. these little hovel towns. Like they almost look like hobbit holes, but out of brick. That's the only way I can describe it because it's a sheep farm basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Joseph is holding Mary going door to door begging.
Wow.
Let us in. She's about ready to pop.
Yeah.
And while that is going on, the Carol of the Bells is playing.
Oh, wow.
And it is just this glorious moment until you hear this one shepherd go, I got a stable over here.
Uh-huh.
And then it's, if you haven't seen it, it's great. It's like the Jesus movie of Christmas.
That's cool.
The 2006 Christmas Story. And it covers Herod. It covers the three wise men. Or the three wise guys, as my family call them.
Uh-huh.
But it's phenomenal. So those are my three Christmas movies we have to watch every year. Wonderful. Oh, and Muppet Christmas Carol. But
I was going to throw that one in there.
I feel that's a given for everybody.
Big Muppet fans. I'm running out of battery, so I got to say goodbye fairly soon. So anyway, I mean, you continue on without me if you want. That's fine.
Oh, no, it's good. Just want to remind you guys, please register for The Art of the Start, January 29th. Kind of our Christmas present to you guys.
Yes.
Kind of a tell. Give the real quick elevator pitch for that real quick, John.
Sure. If you're having trouble getting started with your story and it's just hanging on you, it's like, how am I going to, I don't know where to start. I get flummoxed. I get bamboozled or whatever you do. One of those words. And you're just, it's, yes. And you're just trying to get started, and it's hard, and it's weighing on you because you know you got to write the story, or you feel stuck or whatever. This I've got a plan for you. I've got a blueprint to get you out of that stuckness and onto get it onto the page. I've got some ways, some things I want to share with you to help me, to help many other people, and it'll help you get that story on the page where it belongs, and then get into the hands of people. So it's called The Art of the Start, and it'll help you overcome a lot. It's going to be absolutely free. It's going to be a seminar. We're going to do it on a Saturday, January 29. And it's our gift to you. Just want to give that to you. So there we go. It's fun. So register soon. We're going to have a like limited time because we're going to get a Zoom call. We're going to talk, make it interactive. It'd be a lot of fun.
Come stop by, ask some questions. So you do need to register for it. I'm not going to blast out the Zoom link.
Just
So if you want to be a part of it, email me at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com and I will add you to the list that shoot out the email. Then you'll be able to join us. You said 9 o'clock PST.
Yeah. 9 o'clock Pacific time. You got it.
On the 29th. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, John, right. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. You too, Brian. You too. Yeah, and all of you watching too, which just hope you have just a beautiful Christmas and a great new year ahead and with new possibilities.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.